Abby McKenzie here with another edition of Put a Ring on It. Now, I got to talk to EC Diamond, who is pretty much one of the fastest rising wrestling superstars in Queensland and if not in Australia at the moment. He's a crowd favourite everywhere he goes. I'm very lucky to call him a mate of mine. But just sitting down and talking to him about his career, this guy is so young and what he's managed to do, the things that he's managed to tick off his bucket list, I don't think wrestlers twice his age have even been able to do this. One of those things was wrestling just earlier this year, actually, for Tommy Dreamer's House of Hardcore. So, I mean, rubbing shoulders with people like Mick Foley, that is unbelievable. And the fact that EC Diamond has done this at such a young age, I reckon he is billed for superstardom, 100%. And he has those dreams and he has those goals. And I think if anyone's going to fulfill them, it's going to be him. In this next chat, we talk about the humble beginnings, how he got into the business, all that type of thing, plus his experience on House of Hardcore, how his wrestling career is going now. Of course, we'll touch on the future too, but we also talk about how wrestling saved EC Diamond. He's a personal mate of mine, and I was very privileged to get to chat with him because at the end of the day, he's actually someone that I've come to really admire. Here it is, my chat with EC Diamond on Put a Ring on It. Joining me now is one of Queensland, if not Australia's fastest rising wrestlers, who has one of his most challenging matches ahead of him at United Pro Wrestling's Undisputed Glory, August 18 at the Shed at Aussie World on the Sunshine Coast. Please welcome EC Diamond.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good. Now, EC, I've been very fortunate enough to have followed your wrestling career from pretty early on. So for those who don't really know EC Diamond, tell us a little bit about you, like what drew you to wrestling and how you kind of got into it.
Oh, well, look, I started with wrestling like most other guys start with wrestling. I was a huge fan as a kid. I just loved how entertaining it was compared to any other sport. And it just drew me to the television screen. And I just knew from that moment that I laid my eyes on the television screen that I was going to do this forever. So, like, it's just, it's surreal knowing that I... with sitting in New Zealand watching my first ever pay-per-view and looking at it now, I'm in the middle of the ring, 18 years old, and I've got one of my biggest matches coming up, and it's just, it's absolutely insane knowing that I've so far completed what I've always wanted to do. So it's kind of crazy.
It's crazy. But, I mean, what age are we looking at here? Like, what age did you start? I'm assuming you're watching WWE and stuff like that. Like, how young were you?
I think I was about 5 or 6. We went over to New Zealand, and I think I was flipping through the channels and SmackDown came on, and I thought that was awesome. So we zipped down to the DVD store downstairs at our hotel, and I think it was SummerSlam. I think it's 2002.
I was going to say, was there a particular match or turning point?
And I went to the special features kind of part, and I skipped everything else, but I went straight to the main event, and I think it was The Rock versus Brock Lesnar. It was, it just drew me so hard because, you know, Brock was getting into the ring, and as soon as The Rock made his entrance, he laid that title down, and he sprinted to that ring, and they just went to town on each other, and it just, it was insane, and that was the moment that I realized this is the best sport in the world, and people need to know about this. So that's my goal, is to make people realize that wrestling is cool again, because people have this conception that wrestling isn't cool anymore. I mean, when I was in school, everyone loved wrestling, and now that I've progressed through my life, everyone puts wrestling down. So my main goal is to make people realize that wrestling is cool.
Well, this is the same thing with me. This is why I have a whole podcast on it. This is when every time I'm on the radio, I try and sprinkle a little bit of wrestling magic on everything I do, just to shine a bit of light on it, because you want people to have as much enjoyment out of it that we get out of it.
Like, exactly.
We love it so much, and wrestling saved so many people. Like, I tell this story all the time
about it.
Like young kids.
I'm one of them.
Tell us your story.
I was bullied all the way through primary school into high school, to the point where I left school in grade 9 and I just didn't know what I was going to do. I got into some really bad stuff. I started doing some really bad things. And, you know, I think I was sitting in the back of the car with my dad, and he was looking through the newspaper while we were parked, and he came past this article of QCW, Queensland Championship Wrestling. and he showed me it. And, you know, I kind of had that phase where I stopped watching wrestling for a while because everyone thought it was, you know, boring.
Yeah.
So I joined the bandwagon and said, ooh, wrestling's crap. And as soon as I saw that article, I was like, oh, okay. I didn't realize, you know, independent wrestling existed. I thought it was just the WWE. The moment I laid my eyes on that newspaper, I went, well, okay, this is interesting. So I messaged them on Facebook. I had a photo of me doing backyard wrestling from when I was like 10. So I sent them that photo and they had a good laugh about that. And I think like 2 days later, I was doing a try at 14 years old.
Well, we'll talk more about your future later on in the chat. But do you still hang on to that photo, like just in case you make it to WWE one day and it's going to be one of those things that they show on your promos?
I tell you what, I sent them over to Facebook. And looking back at it now, I'm glad that phone that I had got completely destroyed because I never want to see that photo ever again.
No, they could have used it later.
It was terrible. It was like me coming off like one of those mini step ladders doing a swanton onto like a little mattress. It was terrible.
So you get to QCW, you start training. What's the goal or what's the thought process here on out? Like, because I know that you started off refereeing, didn't you?
Yes. I think my main goal was just to get out of the stuff that I was doing and focus on wrestling because I was doing some really, you know, stuff that typical teenagers do.
But I was outside of your wrestling career, yeah.
I was going through a real rough patch and down a really dark alley, and wrestling saved me. So, like, my main goal was just to focus on wrestling. And unfortunately, as soon as I started riffing, QCW shut down. And I thought, oh, no, this is it already. I'm like 14, 15. What am I going to do? And I kind of just went along and kind of found some promotions that were willing to let me rest. And then eventually UPW came along. And
because there's an age limit, isn't there? You can't start wrestling till 16, is it?
16, or? Yeah, so I started when I was 14, just on 14.
But see, and really, I mean, you refereeing at such a young age, you've started your wrestling career so young, like you've got
exactly,
so much ahead of you.
And that 2 year gap from 14 to 16 killed me because I just wanted to get in there so bad, but I'm so glad that I didn't because I was so bad back then.
Well, that 2 year period, would that really have given you an understanding of the psychology of wrestling and how the industry works and all that? It almost gives you a little bit of a head start because you're in the industry, but you're not yet wrestling yet, but you've got a pretty good understanding of how it all works when you hit 16.
Exactly, yeah, I did, but not in the aspect of where I am now. Like, if I had started with UPW to begin with, I think I'd be a lot more intelligent than I am compared to where I started, but it gave me my path and I'm really happy with how it turned out. So either way.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I've been fortunate enough to watch you and your career from very early on. I remember you refereeing. I remember you dropping your first ever stunner. And I tell that story all the time. Was that an awesome moment for you? Was that like the first time you were able to do a big move as a ref?
Yeah, it was surreal because I didn't know it was happening until I was backstage before that match. And they go, oh, you're going to hit a stunner on the main event. You're going to get the biggest cheer. And I was like, oh, wow, this is crazy. And the moment I hit, I think it was Rabies the Clown with that stunner, the place just erupted.
And not just a small move, it's a stunner.
It was awesome. I always cherish that moment because it was kind of my first, I don't know, kind of engagement with the crowd.
And I think a lot of people feel that way as well because, I mean, for me back then, I was just a fan in the audience. I wasn't a part of any wrestling industry. I didn't know you personally back then, but that's a story that I always tell now because it was a standout moment for me during that show.
Yeah, it was great. I loved it.
Now, you wore a mask for a lot of the start of your career as well. Yeah. You don't wear the mask now. Was it a relief? Was it a relief taking that mask off?
Oh, yes. It was terrible wearing that. It got so hot. It was so hard to see out of. It was like mesh. And, you know, it'd move around. I was wrestling. So I remember one time I knocked myself out because the mask turned to the side as I was getting whipped into a post. So I slipped didn't see where I was going, knocked myself out, and that was the end of that match.
Yeah.
In fact, actually, that match was against 13. So.
Oh, would you believe it? We're back to 13.
Yeah, that was my first singles match, I think it was.
Well, was there a reason why you had to wear the mask, or was it just an idea that you had at the time?
I think at the time, I was still very, very young looking. Like, I looked like a 12-year-old. So I was like, okay, you know, there's not many mask characters that are believable these days in Queensland. And I put the mask on. But then a lot of mask guys came through and kind of just pushed me to the side. So it was kind of eye-opening. So I took the mask off, I think it was end of 2017, last year.
Yeah,
so.
It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, and the time I took it off, I was just so glad. But I wish I grew my hair out a bit longer, because when I took it off, I looked like I had a bowl cut.
Doing the AJ style soccer mum look?
Yep, that's it.
How did you make the decision to take the mask off? Was it part of storyline, or was it just the time right, or you just absolutely fed up with it and said, nah, it's got to go?
I think it was a bit of both. I mean, me and 13 came to a point where we had the teacher-student match back at the end of last year, and I thought, you know what, this is the perfect time to show my respect. 2:13, so I took it off at the start of our match and we wrestled, and that was the first time I wrestled without a mask, and it was against 13, so it was pretty cool. But yeah, I guess times have changed, haven't they?
Well, that's just what I mean. It's almost gone full circle, hasn't it? Because looking back at those days of wearing the mask and reffing back in the day in QCW, and now where you've got a match against 13 again coming up on the 18th of August, do you sometimes have to pinch yourself just to realise how far you've come?
A lot. I pinch myself a lot, trying to wake myself up from this crazy dream I'm having. But I guess I realise that it's not a dream. I'm living this life and I'm enjoying it.
And not only are you living your dream right now, but you've been so successful already. So at the moment, you're wrestling predominantly for United Pro Wrestling, but you've got so many fans. Like, I even heard a story that you got written a love letter at one point. You're selling merchandise. Like, it must be really surreal that, yes, I am living the dream, but I'm actually really successful at it.
Oh, it's absolutely crazy. And I think I've said it crazy about 7 times already. But,
it's the best way to sum it up.
That's how you did it. Yeah, I did get it's not a love letter. I think it was just a little girl came up to me. She gave me a letter and she just was in love with me. And I see her every show and she is the start of my day, basically, for wrestling. She is just amazing. She's just so kind. I mean, she asked me who my favorite football team was, and I told her it was the Cowboys, and she came back and gave me a Cowboys toy car, and it was just, aww. She's just the nicest little soul, and, you know, it's people like that make you realize that that's why you're doing this.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, at the end of the day, it is all for the fans, and I know that you take your fans very seriously. Like, you even won our United Pro Wrestling Hottest Bachelor poll. So, I mean, you've got them in droves out there, EC.
I know, I did. Like, Hottest Bachelor, I think that was a bit crazy. I mean, there's a lot of better-looking dudes than me, but...
But you've got the fans to back you up and to get in and the votes.
That was actually pretty insane, having that many votes for me. So that kind of opened my eyes a little bit to expanding my horizon.
Yeah, well, speaking of, just recently you've had the opportunity to wrestle on Tommy Dreamer's House of Hardcore. This is no minor thing. This is you rubbing shoulders with the likes of Bubba Ray Dudley, Mick Foley, as I said, Tommy Dreamer, Al Snow. How was that experience? Was it mind-blowing for you?
It was the best moment of my life. You know, at that stage, I haven't met that many big superstars, but that night was just insane. I met so many people, like Billy Gunn, Tommy Dreamer. I mean, I met Hornswoggle. I've got like a wrestling sticker of him that I've had since I was like 6. Just meeting all these people. Like, I mean, I shook Billy Gunn's hand. Well, I tried to. He went to the toilet, so he gave me a knuckles instead. It was just crazy interacting with them and having them watch my match with 13 and getting feedback. That was insane.
Because at that time, you didn't know you were going to be in a match, did you?
No, I was set to be on the door handing out tickets.
Which in itself is a huge honour, just to be able to work for these guys.
I was privileged just to be there doing the tickets. I would have been fine if I was just sitting there in the crowd, but honestly, that was mind-blowing.
So walk me through the process, but how did the potential match come about? Who approached you and said, look, this is going to happen, you're going to get the call up?
Okay, so I was sitting, tearing up tickets, getting them ready, and 13 came up to me and he said, you're on, you're on. And I said, what? I'm what? Like, you're on, get your stuff. So I'm shaking, I'm trying to find my key so I can go get my gear. And my heart's racing a million miles an hour. I'm texting my family. I'm like, oh, I'm on the show.
I was even on the phone to your dad at one point during that night.
just getting that news that I'm going to be able to wrestle in front of my home crowd with House of Hardcore. It was just amazing.
You must have been so nervous, but also so excited. When you were in the ring and you've got, because I was in the crowd, I know everyone was chanting for you. Did you have a moment to just kind of, even just a brief second, to sit and soak it all in what you were actually doing?
I did. The referee was checking us, and I'm very glad he checked me first, because while he was checking 13, I stood there and I surfed the crowd. I just kept looking into the crowd and just being amazed that we, on the Sunshine Coast, are holding a show full of former WWE superstars. And, I mean, hell, when I was back in QCW, this was the last thing I would have imagined happened.
Yeah.
I mean, tell 15-year-old me that you're going to be on a show with, like, Tommy Dreamer and Bully Ray. He'll be like, what? What
are you Only doing? 3 years what? Later, mind
exactly.
you.
And it was just... It gave me that moment just sitting there, looking through the crowd. It gave me that moment to realise that, wow, this is actually happening, and I'm forever grateful having that opportunity.
I mean, what type of opportunities could this potentially open up for you?
Well, it's not 100% certain, but I have been in contact with Al Snow, and I am trying to set up a journey over the US next year to train with Al Snow at OVW. So
that's amazing.
That's what I'm hoping to do next year, and let's hope it happens, because that would be absolutely crazy.
Well, that's the thing. If all you've taken out of this House of Hardcore experience is a phone number and networking opportunity, even that's great.
Exactly.
Love it. Yeah. And I love how you were versing 13 as well. It just keeps coming back to 13.
It was just full circle.
So it must be a sign. Let's talk about 13.
Okay, here we go.
All right. So you will be battling out against 13 at your upcoming match, Undisputed Glory, August 18. Let's go right back. We've touched on it a little bit, but let's go right back to your relationship with 13, because you guys have known each other for a really long time. There has been the teacher-student element at some point as well. So let's go right back to the start.
Okay. I walk through the doors of QCW for the very first time. I see this guy with red and black hair and gothic makeup, and I go, hey, that's different.
It's kind of intimidating at first impression.
Well, it was, but at the same time, I thought, hey, I want to be different too. I want to stand out. And, you know, I kept close contact with 13 until QCW closed. And then, at that stage, I messaged him and said, you know what? Can you give me a hand? And I want to learn from you. I want to kick your brain. And he took me under his wing. We hit like 3 different PCYCs so we could train, and they all kicked us out because we were breaking the floors.
But the things you got to do.
Exactly. And from there on, I just built not a bond, but like a brotherhood with him. And, you know, I saw him as not only a friend, but actually like a family member. And, he was a really good friend at one stage, let's just say that.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's all spectacularly fallen apart now. But through that brotherhood with 13, you guys have been in the ring together. You've got a friendship outside of the ring together. There was the formation of the Circus of Tragedy with Jacques Legrand as well. So the Circus of Tragedy, it seemed like it was such a fun time for the three of you.
Oh, it was amazing. Like, it was the high of my career so far, being a part of the Circus of Tragedy, because the Circus of Tragedy was around in QCW, and it wasn't as big as it was this time around, which I was really happy about being involved with. Meeting Jacques Legrand, that was crazy, because we're like best friends now, and I got to meet him through that. But I think the part that really ruined us was, you know, 13.
In the end, yeah. Because at the time, you guys were dominating UPW. Everyone was loving seeing the Circus of Tragedy come out and the tight bond that the three of you had. And I'll let you explain it in your own words, but ultimately, 13 betrayed the Circus of Tragedy, and it was, I'm not going to lie, it was gut-wrenching for everybody who was at that event who saw what happened.
For me as well.
Yeah. I mean, tell us in your words what happened, basically, with 13 turning his back on you guys.
Okay, so at Warpath, I had a championship match against The Gospel.
Mm-hmm.
The show before that, The Gospel and 13 kind of had this weird kind of formation together, and it was really confusing for me and Jaquie because we were wondering what the state of the Circus Tragedy was.
Yeah.
So coming into Warpath, I'm ready for my title match. I'm ready to win the other UPW Championship. Almost said the WWE Championship there. That would be great.
One day.
One day.
Slow down.
I'm trying. Ready for my UPW Championship match. I go into that match, and it's kind of 50-50. I have the opportunity to win. And 13 came running down. We were both down. And anything could have happened. 13 came in, floated into the ring, and it was that kind of weird moment where he's trying to decide who to side with.
And you would have been thinking, obviously, he's going to help you.
Oh, obviously. We're the Circus of Tragedy. We're the best thing that UPW had.
You have a brotherhood. He's your teacher, your mentor. You called him a part of your family earlier.
Yeah, exactly. And it was that weird moment where we definitely thought he was going to come towards us and, you know, side with us, and we can take on the Gospel and get rid of the Gospel for good. And, he kind of lured me in, and I gave him a hug. He pushed me back, and he kicked me right in the nads.
Which is the ultimate low of all time in wrestling.
Very much so. And threw me to the ground and kind of threw all of our friendship and all our memories away with me.
So what's going through your mind at this point? Are you just in absolute shock and disbelief that this has happened?
I'm in shock. I'm in anger. I was fuming, but what didn't stop going through my head was why he did it. Why did he decide to get rid of the Circus of Tragedy and side with the Gospel?
And also cost you winning the championship.
Exactly. It would have been a really cool moment having the belt around my waist and being able to, you know, say, hey, this is because of you. You showed me everything, and I took it to my advantage. But yeah, that didn't happen, I guess.
He took it all away from you.
He didn't see much left in me, I guess.
Well, I mean, 13 is all about mentally disarming his opponents and kind of getting in under your psyche. Do you think that's what he did to you during that time? I mean, has he affected you emotionally now?
I don't know. I kind of have this feeling that this was his plan from the start. I kind of have this feeling that he's been planning this for a while with the Gospel, and it really frustrates me because the Circus of Tragedy were doing so well, and he could have been planning this the whole time. So nothing really mattered to him while we were doing that. But I guess stuff happens. People change all the time.
And I don't think anybody will ever understand the way that 13's mind works.
No one will ever understand anything that he has going through his brain.
Yeah.
He is one of a kind. Not in a good way. I think it's a very weird way.
He's a psychopath half the time.
He is a complete lunatic.
Yeah. So do you think coming into your match on August 18, has it still emotionally affected you, or have you been able to try and put all of that aside?
It's kind of drained on me for a little bit, but coming into Undisputed Glory, I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm going to let it all out, and look, it's not going to be pretty. I can promise that. It's not going to be pretty.
Well, I mean, the two of you have been in the ring so many times. Is that going to kind of be of a help or a hindrance to you? Because you know how each other works.
But it is a very different course. I mean, we were fighting as friends. This time we're fighting as enemies.
And you've got a lot of revenge that you need to square up.
The way I see it, we're one for one right now. He beat me at Winter Slam, not clean, but he beat me at Winter Slam on our singles match. And then I beat him on another show in Brisbane. We're one for one now. This is the ultimate decider. This is it. This is the end. This is the very last time that me and him will go head to head. And it's going to be a brawl. There's going to be A lot of pain inflicted in this match.
Well, I mean, you said earlier that he won dirty during one of your matches, which seems to be the way that 13 is operating. And it seems to be the way that the gospel operates all the time as well. He's got his goons to come in and do his dirty work for him all the time. What's your biggest concern going into your match at Undisputed Glory? Is it any involvement with the gospel, with the goons? Like, do you think you'll actually get a fair match?
Oh, absolutely not. I know what's going to happen. I know that they're going to try and figure out this plan to screw me over once again. They win, ha ha ha. I'm prepared. I'm ready. I've got a few plans up my sleeve as well. And they can come into Undisputed Glory doubting me, but at the end, I'm the diamond standard. I'm a cut above the rest. I'm always going to be prepared for my matchup.
I love it. Well, I was checking out 13's latest promo and he keeps asking, which side are you on, EC Diamond? Which I just thought was really bizarre because isn't he the one who blatantly picked sides?
Exactly.
Isn't that just weird?
That's what I thought. But, you know, they can have glass, but the way I see it, glass is made to be broken. And I'll break my way through and I'll break him as well.
So you promised that it's going to be a brawl at Undisputed Glory. It's not going to be pretty. And that once you're done with 13, you're going after the UPW Championship. Is that the short-term goal for you, to get your hands on that belt?
The goal at the moment is, I think my mind is just set on beating 13 first and then going on to the UPW Championship. I don't want to focus too much on the UPW Championship just yet because I want to get my revenge on 13.
Yeah.
But trust me, as soon as I'm done with him, that will be the first thing that's on my mind.
So what's the end goal for EC Diamond? I mean, you've, like we've said before, I mean, you're so young. You started this at such a young age. You've got your entire career ahead of you and you've already kicked so many goals, be it House of Hardcore, be it taking on 13. What is the end goal for you and your career? Are you thinking WWE?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I may not be ready for it quite just yet, but I've got so much ahead of me. I'm only 18. I'm just taking it slow at the moment. But yes, going to America next year will be a very big step forward for me. And I'm just really excited to see what the future brings.
Oh, I think your future is, I think it's pretty certain what you're going to be doing as a career in the future, and it's going to be pretty big. To wrap this up, if you've got one message for 13 ahead of Undisputed Glory, 18th of August at the Shed Aussie World, what would it be?
Well, let's be completely honest. 13's going to be listening to this right now. So 13, if you're listening, which I know you are, bring everything you've got on the 18th. Because I'm not backing down whatsoever. It's me and you for the last time. It's going to be a brawl. I've said it a million times. So bring your A-game, pal.
EC Diamond, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for joining me. And as I said earlier, cannot wait to see what is in store for your future, because I know it's going to be a bright one. And best of luck on August 18 at the Shed Aussie World Undisputed Glory.
Thank you very much, Abby.